You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
Tons and tons and tons and tons of resources.
My name is Daniel Lim, and that is Todd Atkins.
What?
All right. Well, before we get into today's question, which is a doozy.
Oh,
I know.
You're a doozy if you do.
I wanted to read off a review that D. Rainer 86 sent in. I love the thanks for the 5 stars. Awesome resource for pastors and leaders. And here it is. If you're a pastor or a leader within the first 5 years of beginning ministry, this is an amazing podcast for you to engage. The topics, conversations, and challenges that the team address are vital things for every leader of a church to consider, and the strategies that are discussed on the podcast are super helpful for implementing within a church, a campus, or a church planting environment. Thank you, Todd, Daniel, and Ed, for your investment, and God bless. Man,
that is such a great thing for Dr. Rainer to say.
Right? It looks like that. Dr. Rainer.
Is it Dr.?
It's
just Dr.
Or maybe it's Dr. Ainer 86.
It could be.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I don't know.
Either
but
way.
I like his pecking order as well. He did it right.
All right.
Daniel. And Ed.
Okay. So D. Rainer, Dr. Ainer, Dr. Rainer, whoever you are, email me, daniel@newchurches.com. We'll send you some swag for sending that in. And if you haven't yet left a rating and review, please do so. And we would love to, not bless you with swag, but swag you with.
Make you part of the fellowship of swag.
Yes. Ooh, I like that. That's good. All right. Well, today we're going to be addressing a question from Matt Poorman, who has sent in multiple questions in the past. So it's great to hear from him again. And this is a good one. So let's listen in.
Hey guys, Matt Poorman here, campus pastor at the Vineyard Church Grape Road campus in Mishawaka, Indiana. My question for you is about a potential trend that might be happening in the campus arena. Especially on the heels of what was happening at Village Church. And we actually know somebody personally who this has happened to as well. But churches that set out to do a campus model and kind of a campus strategy are starting to now turn their churches into autonomous churches. And so I'm wondering if that's a trend that you're seeing, because it didn't sound like Village Church. This is what they were set out to do. But as they've kind of walked through the process, that it might be now a new strategy that God's taking them into and turning these into autonomous churches. I do know that there are churches that go in with that strategy. But it's kind of seeing that maybe there are more and more churches that are only doing campusing for a season and then moving on. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. Thanks so much for the podcast, guys. Looking forward to hearing your answer.
Let me think. You know what? Maybe I've heard this somewhere before. I really hate to say it.
What's going on?
I hate to say I told you so. But let's go back and listen to episode 200. Isn't it 200? Where we were asked about trends in multi-site and trends in church planting and which one the other, whatever. And I said both.
Yeah.
This is the both.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were like trying to accuse me of being wrong or something like that.
No, I was just accusing me and us of, but mostly me, of saying this was going to happen like 120 episodes ago. Just saying.
All right.
If you
so
listen,
do you think, yeah.
Go back and listen. In fact, we should play that footage right now.
I mean, I think kind of the future of church planting is multi-site. I mean, more and more multi-sites are seeing themselves, they're using multi-site as a vehicle to plant new churches. And it may be, that may corroborate with what Ed just said of it's getting harder and harder to find those larger groups to launch. And what better way to do it than to siphon off from an existing body and have a localized expression.
Yeah. And actually to flip that, I also think the future of multi-site is church planting.
Oh, savage, savage.
You're right, Todd. We did talk about it. And when you look at this question, is this a trend? It is happening more and more, but obviously it has been happening. We just haven't heard about it.
Yeah, and there's another trend too that I think is interesting, and that is you're seeing a proliferation of mergers happen. Mm. And so maybe those mergers will also become plants, but I would say the multi-site movement is growing still. It's just maybe changing, and it's going rural.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, obviously, I mean, we've talked about this so many times throughout the course of the 318 episodes that when you look at multi-site does not mean video.
Nope.
Well, we've repeated that time and time again, yet that still resounds as the I guess the assumption around multi-site, that multi-site equals video. So when you look at this, I mean, honestly, I am pro multi-site. I am pro church planting, but I'm not pro every church doing multi-site. And here's the reason. And this is why I think
every church planting.
I'm pro every church being a part of church planting. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Multiplying is the number one. But
that's, yeah, it's kind of a great conclusion.
Yeah. Jesus said. Okay, but here's what I was trying to say. There are a lot of churches who have gone multi-site because it's not that difficult to start a second campus. But to start a third one, that's when stuff starts falling off the rails. And then you never really get to the fourth one. So there are a lot of churches that have two campuses. You know, what do you say? Two service or two locations, one church.
Right.
It's like the most common phrase. Not a bad phrase. It's a good
church, multiple locations once you add more than two.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but there are a lot of churches who have gone that way just because it was a trend. It was like, oh, well, that church is doing it. We've run out of venue space. We don't want to build a new building. So let's do that. And it's taken off and you kind of make your way around it and figure it out as you go. But the reason a lot of churches get stuck there or never get to their third or actually release their campuses as church plants is because there are not many people who can actually manage multiple campuses. There are not many pastors and staff members, the right personalities and leadership skills. There are not a lot of people who have that, who can manage communication well, that can understand dotted lines and solid lines. There's not strict reporting that happens. There's not direct reporting all across the way. So how do you actually lead? Not necessarily by saying, hey, this is, you know, 3 days before the service, we're going to do this or we're going to change this. And then everyone else feels like a hireling. Right? Yeah. Because you're just taking orders. How do you actually lead with vision and far enough in advance that everyone buys in across the campuses? And there's just not a lot of churches who have the right people who can do that.
So I was having this conversation with a church pastor not too long ago who has several campuses, and they've got three different versions. They've got church plants, they've got these regional churches, and they've got churches that they've had a kind of a merger with.
Mm.
And so the interesting thing to me is in the future, you know, part of the conversation was, hey, what's holding these together, and then what's going to hold them together in the future? And so I would say it's either a person or purpose, one or the other, like the gravitas of that person, that senior leader, usually a founder, is a lot of times what's holding some of these larger churches who have multiple sites together, especially if they're a video venue kind of site. But even beyond that, even if it's like a teaching team model, a lot of times there's a center guy. And we saw that in Australia, in Adelaide, and we see that here in America, all over the place.
Mm.
But, you know, all that to say, it comes back to one or the other. And I would say make sure that it comes back to your purpose. And if you're building a network, then that's great. But eventually, it's just inevitable that those churches are probably naturally going to become their own church, because unless the gravity of a person, the central person, or the purpose is going to hold them together. Otherwise, they'll spin off just like the solar system.
Yeah, and when you look at the complexity issue, to have a church, to be a church that plants five churches is a lot less complex than to be a church of five campuses or six campuses where you need to align, where you need to work. I mean, you could still have a family of churches that are working toward a common goal, but if they're all independently led or, they all have regional or direct leadership that way, there's a lot less complexity than having this central services or kind of a main hub leading via vision or leading via people across all the campuses. Now, you'll take a look at situations like Village Church, like Redeemer Presbyterian in New York. And even if you look at before Village launched, they kind of went public with their full, hey, we're going to be rolling all our campuses off, you see that they actually tested it first, right, with their Denton campus. And if you're looking at their position, and Josh Patterson, who is one of the lead pastors there, he's one of our friends. He leads a strategic learning community with Kevin Peck.
Yep. With us. Lifeway Leadership, you can check that out on our site.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll make sure to put a link in the show notes for that. But the thing about that for their situations in particular is that they had capable leaders, empowered leaders who had grown, who are really stepping into the role. And it was like, okay, now what benefit do they have to stay connected to the broader system? Could possibly, leadership pipeline wise, this person grow in their ability and their competency and the church actually flourish more by being on their own? And at the beginning of a campus's life, maybe not. But 5 years in, 10 years in, it might be a different scenario. So that's where I think when we make plans, and this is all throughout Proverbs as well, right? I mean, a man makes his plan, the Lord directs his steps. You know, a king's heart is kind of like God guides them like the river, kind of navigating it through that way. So just even when you look at those examples and those situations right there, you really have to take your church into consideration to say, hey, is this the right season for the church to be, this multi-site church to be together? And maybe God called us to that then, but maybe now it's a different scenario. It's a different season and we need to release them. Here's what I was talking about. Proverbs 21:1, a king's heart is like channeled water in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses. Todd, what are some of your thoughts?
I was over here starting to think about quadrants and such because we started talking about, in my mind, I was talking about P's of, purpose and person and the posture that you're like, it really comes down to when you're looking at this, you can't possibly spin these campuses off into churches if you're not thinking about the person you're putting in there. What purpose, are we aligning around?
Yeah.
What posture are we assuming as the center of this, whole thing? Like, how are these things coming together with the right, I don't know if we're going to process, like whatever, to make sure that these people are ready to go and launch campus.
Yeah, and just church. Yeah, precisely. And just because you see other churches doing this doesn't necessarily mean it's for everyone. So no. That's where, I mean, Matt, you're a campus pastor and your campus might be thriving. Your church might have another campus which isn't thriving, and that's where it becomes a ongoing conversation together as leaders of a church to say, okay, what is God calling us to this next season, these next few years? And actually just hold your plans loosely in that way, seeing, okay, what is the best structure? What is the best strategy for the church to move forward? And inevitably, when you look at Tim Keller Redeemer Church in specific, the way that the church was built and developed and campuses formed, a lot of it was around Tim and his leadership. And when he retired, well, all the campuses were able to run on their own and they had local leadership in that way. So it was actually a part of their succession plan in that, which, if Tim were still in, in the number one seat, would they still be together? Are they more effective now than they were a few years ago? It's hard to compare because the leadership has changed. And anytime leadership changes, that's always a good time to rethink models because models are temporary. There are no perfect models.
So good.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. And if you haven't yet left a rating and review, we would love to hear from you. If you could do that, it just takes less than a minute. If you go to Apple Podcasts on your phone or iTunes on your computer and just send in a quick review and rating, it helps. We read every single one of them and it helps us get better. Thanks.